about your background and how it never left you much. And 'cause you grew up in a small town, you'll appreciate it more when you're done figuring your life out. Talking about your background and how it never left you much. And 'cause you grew up in a small town, you'll appreciate it more when you're done figuring your life out.
WMFO Medford, 10:02 in the morning. How you doing? I'm Mike.
I'm Mike.
And the other Mike over there.
And welcome.
Wait.
Yeah. Hey. Oh, what were you going to say?
I don't know.
I thought it'd be nice and tell people what I play.
I just wander around the streets. People try to figure out who I am.
Yeah.
Welcome to another episode, another segment of Boston Women Rock.
Yeah. Let me tell people what I played there.
Okay. Go ahead.
Just because I want to be polite.
Yeah, sure.
For once in my life.
Well, that can happen.
All right. That was a short set there that we ended with. The last track was by Catfish and the Bottlemen. 2016 brought us their CD called The Ride. That was Soundcheck. Just before that was a great band called Cloud Nothings from 2012's Attack on Memory. That was Stay Useless. That's my credo for life.
There you go.
Yeah, Elliot Sumner from her Information CD called Halfway to Hell. Elliot Pauline Sumner. You know of anybody named Sumner?
Maybe I just Gordon? Think Fort Sumner.
Gordon Sumner.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Sting's daughter.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah,
she looks just like him.
Wow.
My condolences.
Started tough crowd. Tough
whatever.
Crowd.
He can't come get me here.
Yeah.
And started off with another great band, Moses with a Z and the Firstborn. I guess he did Z because he didn't want to be confused with, you know, that Moses.
Yeah.
Moses and the Firstborn. It's still a little religious thing with the Firstborn thing. But anyway, I digress. Sad Supermarket song, brand new single from them. I like that a lot.
You're spitting it out good this morning, huh?
Yeah, you know me, I can't talk.
I can't either.
All right, this other Mike here in the studio is Mike Stewart, and he produces, and you actually conceived of this great local feature that talks about Boston women rocking here.
Yeah, we like to promote Boston Women Rock. Was conceived probably about 5 years ago by myself and Heather Mary Stewart, not a related person, but a good friend.
Okay.
And we've had some other people that have been involved. We've had Paula Worsley and Tracy Chevrolet. And now Kirsten from Something About the Women is involved.
Yep.
And we try to come into a couple shows at WMFO, Mike on the Mic or Something About the Women or Rising, and do segments of Boston Women Rock. And occasionally you might hear us on WMWM Salem State, which is 91.7 FM, and occasionally at WEMF in Boston. And we like to promote the local music scene and the upcoming artist. And it's you know, it's fairly wide swath. And we have lucky to have in the studio the very... and a member of Uranium Daughters. Hi, how are you doing today? You are?
Julie.
Donna.
Welcome, you guys.
Hey.
I know that you've been here at WMFL before, but not with me. So
no.
Welcome to this early morning thing that I do.
And they get the inside WMFO jokes, too.
Nobody gets those.
We know about the elevator now.
Yeah.
Actually, we learned about the elevator the hard way.
It's a joke, but it's not funny. Unless, of course, never mind. So I was telling people before when I was talking about your appearance that if they hadn't heard you before, they really ought to check out your music because it's just wonderful. It's excellent. You're kind of new to me. And Mike introduced you guys to me, and I had a chance to go to your band camp and listen to some things. So I'm really excited to hear you. You're going to treat us to some live stuff.
Yeah.
We've got a couple CDs here. But first, as is the Mike on the Mic tradition, I want to sort of find out more about you.
Yes.
So how did you start in this business? I mean, when you were kids, who were your influences, and when did you first pick up an instrument, whether or not it's a guitar or not?
I've been playing guitar since I was 13.
Oh, so you just started?
Yeah, right. Yeah. But wait, I sort of think it all started from Mission to Burma.
Because, oh, yeah.
I met Donna. Donna was, and her friends, they were the Medford girls, and they always went to the Burma shows, and I went to the Burma shows. And so we met sort of through that, and we became Fertile Virgin.
Just as audience members?
Yeah.
You weren't in bands then?
Well, I did go out with a member of Mission to Burma, but okay. That's, you know, we weren't just girlfriends of, well, actually, we went, other, I'm getting off track. You talk, Donna.
All right, so 13 for you, and it was guitar? It's always been guitar?
Always been guitar. I wanted to play drums, actually, initially, and my parents said no.
Well, of course not.
You will not play drums.
No, they can't know that. But before Burma,
yeah.
Before Burma, who were you listening to? Was there music in the house? Did you listen to some bands in that were formative years that really got you going on music?
Well, everything. I listened to everything, and it just seemed like music was everywhere that was good. But I got off commercial music pretty fast.
Yeah,
and I started finding like the early punk bands and stuff like that. That was.
Well, we have a pretty fertile local scene here, so there's a lot of great stuff.
We're so fortunate around here. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So what's your story? How did you get started here?
Well, I grew up relatively amusical. I didn't play anything, in other words. But, you know, in high school I listened a lot to a lot of local bands, and we'd go out to see them as much as we could.
Mm-hmm.
Being only in high school, you know, they only had so many all ages shows. So, you know, definitely Mission to Burma was one of our favorites, and we'd go out to see them, and hence we met Julie. But I really didn't start playing until I was in my 20s. You know, I was at the time dating a musician, a drummer, who, you know, spent a lot of time complaining about how hard it was to get gigs and how hard it was to play with people. And I thought to myself, how the heck, how hard could that possibly be?
Sure.
Maybe I'll just try it. So I chose the bass because somebody gave me a bass amp, and I figured, it's only got 4 strings. How hard could it be?
Right.
you know, so really, my biggest musical influence is probably Julie, because when she joined the band, I started a band with the drummer, and we actually, when we first started out, we had bass and 2 drums.
Okay.
That's all we had.
Bass and 2 drums.
Yeah, but then when we met Julie and later Trisha, we added guitar, and they actually knew what they were doing. I was just flying blind. I didn't know what the heck.
Sometimes
I was doing.
It's the best way. There's so many musicians that are self-taught.
Yeah, well, you know? it was an interesting learning process, and so we had a band in the late '80s, early '90s called Fertile Virgin, and we did put out a record on Harriet Records. It was like a
45 size, but played at 33, which really messed people up.
Yeah.
So, wow, I'm getting dizzy already.
We did that, and then, then we didn't play for a really, really long time.
Yeah. What happened? Life happened, or you just...
Well, you know, I was in art school at the time at Mass Art, and
I graduated in 79.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They let me out.
Finally, they booted you out the door.
You know the joke about art school?
What's that?
The doors swing both ways.
That's true. Well, my joke about art school was that's what you, when you're in art school, you join a band, a punk band, in order to distract yourself from the work you're supposed to be doing.
That's right.
Yeah, it's just a deflection from your real goal of being in a band.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
So, I did that, and I went to school and became a teacher, and so then...
Oh, very nice.
It was probably like 20-plus years of not playing. Julie always played, but I kind of took a 20-year break until we got back together again.
Yeah, I had another band called Twig after Fertile Virgin. Both of these actually showed up on the Billy Ruane project on YouTube. I found them.
Is that going to be part of his movie that's coming out?
I don't know. It's just there's just this treasure trove of live performances you can find now on YouTube, and Fertile Virgin's on there, 50 minutes, an entire set, and so is Twig. And Twig was Trisha and me from Fertile Virgin, and then we were joined with Niels and Ramona, and Niels still plays with me with Uranium Daughter, so there is a connection there. But then I had a kid, so, you know, that took me out for at least 10 years.
There you go. I like how you say took me out.
Yeah. And then we got together because they were having a Pipeline 25th anniversary thing a few years ago.
Okay.
And Bob DeBrow asked us.
Yeah. Which venue did you play?
We played once in Somerville. And so, I think, didn't we? Yes.
Yeah.
It's all blending together. But and then after that, we were like, well, that was really fun, but we really don't want to play those crummy old songs anymore, so let's do something new.
Yeah.
Okay.
Excellent.
So you guys brought guitars. You a bass, you a guitar.
Yeah.
So I would love to have you play something live.
That's great. And can I just say before we go on
that
our drummer's name is Leslie? We forgot to mention that.
Hi, Leslie. You're here in spirit.
She was in Fertile Virgin, and then she joined us in this band as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, tell me about a song that you suggested called Well Armed Man.
Yeah.
Julie will take that.
I wrote this song because I've always been very upset about gun violence, and I don't usually write anything motivated by politics, but this one sort of is. It's the closest I have to a political song, but just basically because I just get tired of every time something like that happens, people just go, oh, that's so sad. And it's like, and nobody does anything.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah. Mm. And it's just frustrating.
Okay. Was this completely written by you?
Yeah.
Okay. So if you'd be so kind to treat us to something live.
All right.
These are representing the very today, and this is Well Armed Man, live in studio right here at WMFO.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Wash their hands. Where there's a will, there's a way.
Thank you so much, and there's a lot of truth in that, as I said before, unfortunately.
Yeah, you know. I think Sandy Hook was really the one that did it to me. That's what inspired that song.
I'm sorry to have to know when you say that was the first of many.
Yeah.
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 It's just not right. let's not go down that whole
thing. We won't
go
down that rabbit hole.
No, I mean, but you know, I say many times that because I have this platform, I want to be able to say things, and I let the music do the talking. So just like that, that's a perfect example of just being able to do that. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
So you've mentioned that you have kind of a connection to a sister band called Uranium Daughters.
Yes.
And tell us a bit about that band, and then we'll play a track from them.
My mother says that's false advertising because she's like, there's only one woman in it and there's no other daughters. It's all guys. So
yeah, but many, many band names don't mean anything.
I know, exactly. Yeah. Uranium Daughters actually started just as a solo recording project of my own.
Mm-hmm.
And then basically I added people on. And so mostly I play locally with Niels, who used to be in Twig, Niels LeWhite. And Wally Young, who plays drums, and he used to be in Fuzzy briefly and played with some other bands. So basically, I just play with people I've known for a really long time.
Nothing wrong with that.
But then a couple years ago, I met this guy from Texas, Salim Narala, who's a producer there, and he was touring through the area with Rhett Miller, and I met him. I really liked him. I thought he was really interesting, and we started talking. He said, "You should come record with me." Mm. And I was like, "Really?" He's like, "I'll play bass." I was like, "You will? Well, okay. I haven't been on an airplane in 17 years, but I will do this just because it's hard." And so I went and left the other guys behind because they're like, "We don't want to go to Texas. You can go to Texas." We'll go to Texas. And I made these two EPs with him, the latest just back in June. And that was really fun because I was in a studio with basically professional musicians. Not that the people I play with aren't great, but, you know, it was just like, ooh.
It was just like a new level of, wow, this is what it could be like or what it should be.
Yeah. Some people, you know, they go to spas and stuff. I go record in Texas. And
mm-hmm. Makes sense to me.
There was a rooftop pool, so, you know, it was sort of spa-like in its way.
Very nice. So the track you wanna play is called No One Wants to Be in Love Today.
Yes, and that was off the first EP I did in Texas. And
what's the backstory of that track there?
I don't know. It just, the words just came to me one day, and I was fooling around with different tunings. So it's kind of a monster to play live. I'm like, hello, I have to retune my guitar. So, but I just really like what Salim did with it in particular, putting keyboards on it, which I never would have envisioned. And it was one where I really like let him take control, and I really liked the way it turned out.
Okay, cool. We'll play that. What year did this come out?
This would have been 2017 that I released
it. Oh, pretty recently.
Yeah.
All right, Uranium Daughters, everybody, and No One Wants to Be in Love Today at WMFO. We'll be back after this.
This way, then no one wants to stay.
WMFO, Medford, 10:22 in the morning. Mike Squared here.
Yes.
Along with the Very, local band, the Very. And that was like a sister band, quote unquote, of yours called Uranium
Daughters.
Uranium Daughters. But there's no daughters and there's no terrible uranium that's going to blow up anybody or anything. That track, No One Wants to Be in Love Today, was really kind of less punky than I thought it might be, just having never heard it before. But I understand what you mean about the production. Yeah. That was kind of nice. And the background vocals, was that you doubling them?
Yeah.
Or it was. That was really nice. I like that.
Good. I have a video for it, too.
Oh, okay.
You can find it on YouTube.
Everything's on YouTube, isn't it?
Everything's on YouTube.
Yeah, we're learning all about YouTube television because of the World Series, aren't we?
There you go. We were talking off air that this person right here used to be on WMBR back in Lost and Found with Mighty Slim and Eli and a bunch of different people.
Oh, Eli.
So that's, you might remember.
Hope Eli's feeling better.
This lady right here from there.
Julie.
Yes, Julie.
Julie.
Yeah.
All right, so the Very, interesting kind of a name. Where did that come from? What does it mean?
Not Googleable. Googleable.
It's easy for you to say.
We had a contest to, well, not a contest, but sort of an informal contest on Facebook, like name our band because we need a name.
Okay.
And we came up with all kinds of interesting, crazy things people submitted. But at the end, it was Clint Conley from Mission to Burma who said, how about the Very? We said, hey, okay.
So that was anticlimactic.
Yeah, well, part of the problem finding a band name these days is you just, anything you Google, it's like, taken, taken. Taken. And we didn't think this one wasn't taken, although I found it later on it kind of was, but because the Very is so hard to look up, we didn't know.
It's kind of, yeah, because if you try and look it up, it's got all kinds of like suggestions for what's coming after it. But when I first heard of it from Mike, I was like, okay, the Very, it sort of makes you think of the Very what?
The Very,
you know,
best.
So I, yeah, right, so I sort of liked it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So did we, until we found out how hard it was for anyone to find us because of that, but you know.
You think of these things later, you
yeah,
know?
You,
you
do.
Don't know. So I've got a copy of your CD here, and it's just a soft thing, so I can't really make the noise I usually do. But as you had told me before, it's got pictures of people on it, which is nice. Two of those people are you guys.
That's a clue.
And the title track, you called it Hurricane Change.
Mm-hmm.
Any particular backstory to that title track?
Well, that's Donna's song, so she'll go with that.
All right, Donna.
Not so much. I don't know that it has a backstory. Really, it's just, you know, I don't. I was looking at things on my coffee table, and then you know,
so
and it was a windy day, and that's about.
That's so
all
funny.
I can say. It's not that deep.
Yeah.
This particular song.
Well, we are in tumultuous times.
Yes, we are. It's all about the tumultuous times.
So is that what the lyrics
are
about?
And the global warming and
the daily strife of my coffee table.
Yeah, I can't claim that it's that. No.
Okay. And the last EP we put out, one of the songs became the name of the EP. So Donna's like, well, why don't we just keep with that? Because the last one's called Perfumed Apocalypse, which was also the name of the song. So we'll just perfume, and also the apocalyptic theme, hurricanes, apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
It sort of feels a little like there's a hurricane out there right now, as I notice the trees blowing in the wind.
Yeah, today's an interesting day around here.
I think it's the tendrils of Willa.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah. So hurricane change, you know, let's spin that. What are we going to hear? What is it? What were you thinking about when you wrote it, and what's the music inspiration?
I do some songwriting with my husband Jimmy over there, Jimmy Ryan. And
hi, Jimmy.
He sometimes sends me like little song starts, is what he calls them. It would be just like little things, and then I fool around with those. And I think I was fooling around with one of them, and then I somehow I landed on this other thing, and it seemed like it was more appropriate for the very, since we have, you know, we did some nice vocal work on this one. Although Jimmy and I have performed it a few times ourselves, but it's not as elaborately vocalized.
Well, there's
without
there's
the girls.
there's a cross thing, because you guys play some of the very songs. Uranium Daughters play some very songs. The very play some Uranium Daughters songs. So it gets all confused.
It's kind of all circular.
Yeah,
like life, the circle.
Well, you know, it's all music, and it's all good. And the more music you can put out into the world, the more of this world strife you can combat.
Yeah, it's a good distraction.
Yeah.
All right, why don't we spin this track, the title track, Hurricane Change, and while that's playing, we'll figure out another one to play from this one, and then we'll come back, and if you'd be so kind as to play some more things live.
Yeah? Sure.
All right. This is The Very, everybody, in Hurricane Change at WMFO.
Nothing to hold on to. It all just slides away.
Okay, it's WMFO Medford. It's Mike Squared here.
Squared.
Yep. Hey, what? Oh, your mic's over there. I see.
I know.
I see. All right, and we're here with The Very, from whom we just heard two tracks from their CD, the title track, Hurricane Change, and Contrail Goodbye. Now, we didn't really talk about Contrail Goodbye. That title doesn't mean anything to me. What does that mean?
Well, that was one of mine again.
Oh, there you go.
A contrail is that trail that's left by airplanes.
Really, that's exactly what I was thinking of.
Chemtrail.
Chemtrail, yeah.
Yeah. And that was actually a song that I co-wrote with my husband, Jimmy. You know, I just had these words kind of rolling around in my head. And then
awesome.
I kind of, you know, collaborated with him and did the put it to music. And all of the songs that you've been playing on our EP, we recorded with Dave Westner.
Oh, I know Dave. Yeah.
At
Woolly Mammoth.
He's at Woolly Mammoth. So yeah. We did the basics there, and then recorded the overdubs with Dave as well,
and Jimmy helped.
And Jimmy's our
I'm the soccer mom.
Yeah, he's the soccer mom band.
I understand the outfit now.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
Well, and he obviously played mandolin on that last track.
Yes. Yeah.
As we were saying while I was playing, you guys sound great. It's a really nice nice EP for sure.
Thank you.
Well, yeah. You're not playing the growly songs. There are some growly ones on there. You're playing the nice songs.
We have a little bit of time. We could do some growly.
Yeah.
It's all right. I mean, it's after 10:30 in the morning, so growly is allowed on college radio.
We might have to play Leslie's song then, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's the snarly one.
All right. Well, Satellite is one that you want to play now.
Mm-hmm.
Live. Is that a growly one or a...
In betweeny.
Okay.
Yeah. It's
gonna be acoustic right now.
It's in betweeny, and as I understand it, you've been playing it on WMFO. So how's your?
I think the robot likes it. I think.
Yeah, the robot thing likes it, and this was the first song that I wrote by myself when I started playing again. So this was a good entry back into. Can I still do this? Do I still remember how to do this?
Okay.
So
that'll be the Satellite. And then you do another one, too, called Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
And
that's
one
of Julie's.
Julie, what's the story behind that?
Well, this is kind of Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just wrote it one day, and we haven't recorded it yet. And we, my husband's in computer stuff, and he really hates Steve Jobs and hated Bill Gates and all those people. But anyway, so I spontaneously just played it live at a show, and he was laughing so hard he was crying. I do write, a lot of sort of joke songs, and this is one of them.
Okay.
So, I Only Love You When I'm Drunk is my other sort of joke song.
But, well, that would be true for me, I think. Not you, but, you know, you of the world. All right, so let's get a treat here, everybody. Okay. We'll have a couple of acoustic live songs from The Very, starting with Satellite, and then Steve Jobs, live in Studio A here at WMFO.
Okay.
Okay,
1, 2, 3, 4. You're good running start to reach escape velocity. Centrifugal forces pull you back into an old idea of me. Satellite.
trajectory as I leave behind this old familiar space to find a new me to be in the universe of you. I'm not your
live here in Studio A with Satellite. And you're going to treat us to another one, the not-so-wonderful Ode to Steve Jobs. Live in Studio A. It's the very.
One, two, three, four.
Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs.
He thought he could rule the world. Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs.
By giving us what he thought we wanted. Never asking why. We wanted Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs.
His soul from here is now departed. Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs.
But his spirit lingers on. He thought he knew what we wanted. Never asking why. There are no new messiahs. Steve Jobs was just a guy. Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs.
Looks sorta like a praying mantis. Steve Jobs.
Mantis.
Except in his younger days, when I admit he looked kinda hot. Then again, maybe not. Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs.
Looks sorta like a giant spider. Steve Jobs.
Spider.
In his black turtleneck, he thought he knew what we wanted. Never asking why. There are no new messiahs. Steve Jobs was just a guy. Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs.
He thought he could rule the world. Steve Jobs had a lot of people fooled.
You know, there was Steve Jobs, obviously. The very live in Studio A. I love the lyrics. Maybe you saw me sort of cracking up over here. Yeah, it's not very complimentary to Mr. Jobs. Well, the spider-like Mr. Jobs.
Yeah, yeah, well, you know, there's still a fight. You know, the Apple people and the not Apple people.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to destroy the Android phone. That was his dying wish.
Well, you know.
I will destroy you.
Commercial competition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's see, 10:45. Look at that. Every time I look at the clock, it's just about to turn. 10:45 in the morning. We've got about 10 minutes left with you guys. And I want to play something recorded from your project, Julia, Half Magic.
Yep.
Uranium Daughters. And this was something you were going to play live, but decided to play it from the CD. It's called Sweetness.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about that, if you would.
This is one, I brought a bunch of songs to Texas, and I never can decide which ones I want. So I give them to Salim, and I was like, he's like, you want this and this? And he's like, okay, I figure you put them in the order you want, but I put this one at the very end. And he said, well, what about Sweetness? I was like, you like that one? He's like, yes. So he really, I gave him co-writing credit on this because he really sort of made it into a more of a song than it was, because it's very simple. And it's one of the few songs, the only song I've ever recorded that I don't actually play any guitar on it at all. They played everything. I just sort of took it over and I brought it home, and my husband's like, ha ha, that's your alt country song. He's like, don't say that.
Did he really say ha ha?
No, he said ha ha. Well, Salim gets...
I'm just being a pain.
Salim is touchy about alt country. He doesn't like that label. So he's like, it's not alt country, it's a pop song.
Okay.
So there you go, it's a pop song.
Okay, so it's Sweetness and Uranium Daughters from CD right here at WMFO. We'll be back after this. I feel like I want to applaud that, yay, even though it's on a CD. that Sweetness by Uranium Daughters. It's really Julie's project. Let me just explain. This is a new CD player, and it kind of does that. It kind of just repeats all the time.
When it likes something, it plays it again.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Can I use that?
Yes.
No, but that was Sweetness. And you were saying when we were listening, there's sort of an old 97s connection.
Yes, because Salim also produced a lot of the old 97 records, and Jason, who plays drums on that, he's roadie slash sometimes drummer for the old 97s. He filled in on drums when their drummer had a freak accident on the tour last year, and he's a really great drummer.
Oh, I really loved that. I really loved that. That's really nice. So we were talking before about some of these being, dare I say, sort of alt-country kind of tinge. And you mentioned there's some growly songs that you do, too.
We do.
And, of course, that piqued my interest. So let's hear something by the very that is a little more growly. From the same record, by the way, Hurricane Change. This one's called Immortal. Tell us about this growly one.
Leslie, our drummer, who's not here today, wrote this one. We were, you know, everyone was very saddened when David Bowie died. I wrote a song about that called All the Stars, which is on another Uranium Daughters record. And she wrote this one called Immortal about when he died.
Okay. Thank you. Let's hear this one, and we'll be back for one more live.
Okay.
That I can't wait for. It's WMFO. WMFO Medford, 10:54 in the morning. Mike Squared along with the very here, right in studio, and just heard Immortal from Hurricane Change. That definitely was a more growly kind of a not alt country, you know, more punk kind of thing. I love that. You know, I think it must be, I'm just guessing, the most difficult thing to do as an artist is to just be able to play all these different styles and not be pigeonholed as, oh yeah, that sounds like, that sounds like, you know, like the Cars. Everything they did, they sounded the same. No disrespect. But I mean, I love it when a band can have different styles.
Yeah, the worst question is when people ask you, well, what do you sound like? Us.
Yeah, that's the right answer.
Compare yourself to other bands.
Right.
Must I?
Yeah. So Something About the Women is coming up next with Ryan D sitting in. But just before that, we have time for one more live here in the studio, you guys. And it's one that did you say it's recorded or it's not?
It's recorded, this is by recorded by Uranium Daughters on the first Texas EP, which is called Oz.
Okay. Right away I was attracted to it because of the title, I Only Love You When I'm Drunk. Yeah, not that it has anything to do with me personally, but there's got to be some kind of a story about this song. Where'd this come from?
Experiences.
Yeah.
Yeah. Growing up and going through, you know.
Is this like a cold case or something that's going to be opened up?
No, not at all. It's not about anything specific, actually.
Okay. All right. Well, I want to thank you so much. Really, really enjoyed it.
Thanks for having us.
My pleasure. I hope you come back again. For sure. We'd love to do it. I want to come see you play out, too. That's a good question I should ask as a DJ. Got any gigs coming up? What are you doing?
Sadly, no. Not at the moment.
Okay.
We've both sort of fallen down. Don and I both took it like, we're going to book some shows, and then, you know, they get back to you and then they don't, and then you're like, well, this is not very much fun. I'd rather go write a song than have to do emails to booking agents, but we'll get something eventually, I think.
Okay, well, you please let us know, because we'll be happy to promote you and come see you, all that good stuff. So let's have you play I Only Love You When I'm Drunk.
Okay.
And then we'll come back and say goodbye, and we'll pick one to play from the EP just to see us out.
Okay.
All right. So live in Studio A, everybody, it's The Very, and I Only Love You When I'm Drunk.
Two, three, four. If I'd only take what I was given, if I'd only do what I was told, would I be in this situation? Would I ever be so bold? Now I'm willing to take what I am given, and I'm willing to get what I deserve, but I'll never understand you.
Awesome. The Very, everybody, here at WMFO, and singing some truth. I Only Love You When I'm Drunk. I don't know what I mean by that. Don't hold me to that. But thank you again so very much. And at Ryan D's request, who's going to be here for something about the women, wanted to hear one more song from Hurricane Change.
How about the very last one?
Okay.
Number 6.
A Little Sugar?
That's the clean version, yeah.
Okay.
And thank you for coming on Boston Women Rock.
Thank you for inviting us.
Okay. Yeah. So it's The Very, fun. Everybody. Let's end with, from their record called Hurricane Change, this is A Little Sugar with Your Arsenic. nice, happy song. I'm Mike. I'll be here again next week at 9. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. It's WMFO, Medford.